Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
This has been our foundational scripture for we're cultivating a trust and inspire culture. You see, that's what the church is. Trust. You see, if you can't trust people, you ever get around people, I don't trust anybody. You got a problem. You got a deep wound that needs to be healed. And that not being able to trust anybody will contaminate you and the people who mean the most to you. You see, but if you can learn to trust, I'm not talking about the axe murderer. You don't need to trust him. God will show you who to trust. You see that? When you trust God, he's going to help you. And you know what? You start to trust people, but you don't have to give them everything to trust them. You see this? You start trusting people, it helps you to be healthy. Look what he says. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Give me verse 7 there. Go back to the first verse. I'm sorry. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man whose trust is in man and makes the flesh his strength. So here's what happens. When we try to do it ourselves, we're under a curse. Now look, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes the flesh his strength. Jesus said, your flesh is no good thing, right? Cursed is the man whose trust is in man and makes the flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. You see, when you try to handle it, your heart has departed from God. You see that? When you try to handle things, your heart has departed from God. You're not dependent on God. And you can't even see good when it's on the end of your nose. You see, your vision is impaired. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to be your vision to be impaired. Because if you don't have vision, you're going to be miserable. Now pay attention. This is good stuff. I'm telling you, this is so good. Cursed is the man whose trust is in man and makes the flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes. See? You won't be able to see when good comes. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. You know, nothing grows in a salt land. It becomes a marshland. You're not going to grow spiritually into what God created you to be, trying to do it in your own strength. That's why we need the church. You see that? We need each other in the church. That's why we need Jesus. Now, blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. This word blessed, it's not talking about having 3 cars in the garage and a big house and all this property and all these things. It's the word asher, which means emotionally wealthy. If you're emotionally wealthy, you're happy. You have joy. You have peace. You can make healthy decisions. What you need will come. Because you're in a place of making healthy decisions. That's why he says in Psalms 1, blessed is the man, blessed, asher, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in the word of the Lord he meditates day and night. Now listen, who walks not in the counsel. In other words, you're not walking around thinking thoughts that aren't from God. When you get his thoughts, you have something. Now watch. Blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Trust and inspire. Trust in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. The word hope is a joyful anticipation of good. Now, For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. You see, when your trust is in the Lord, you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be full of fear. You see, fear will paralyze you. You see that? Trials and things happen. You're not afraid because your trust is in the Lord. You're emotionally wealthy. Now watch. And will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious. You're not going to be anxious and falling apart like a $2 suitcase. You're going to be together. You're going to be secure in the year of drought. In other words, nothing's growing around you. God is taking care of you. You're not allowing exogenous things to influence you. It doesn't say that on the screen. The word exogenous means not from the original. Oh, don't you like that? It's coming from the outside. Your influence is coming on the inside because it's coming from God when your trust is in the Lord. And guess what happens? Nor will it cease from yielding fruit. You're going to keep bearing fruit when it's dry all around you. You'll keep producing. The unexpected, all these things that happen, you keep on producing. Now, go with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to read some scripture again after I tell you a story. When I was a kid, I used to love to fly kites. And so now I was about 9 years old, and my dad taught me how to fly a kite, you know, and it meant something to me because my dad, you know, he was busy raising four kids by himself because my mom was in an institution, and he was doing everything he can. So he flew a kite with me one time, and so, man, I loved kite flying. So one day we went to the grocery store. And in this grocery store, there was a, where they sold the peanut butter aisle. And Peter Pan Peanut Butter was doing a, a promotion. And so if you bought Peter Pan Peanut Butter, you got a kite. I said, Daddy, let's get some Peter Pan Peanut Butter. We get a kite. So, yeah. So now when I eat Peter Pan Peanut Butter, I think about all that. Isn't that funny? And so I get home, and I'm all excited I got this kite. And so he didn't have time to fly it that day. So it was on a Saturday. So I thought it was a perfect day to fly a kite. So I went out in the garage. I cut up all these rags and put a big old long tail on it. It was one of them paper ones, you know, triangle shaped kind of. Tied the string and made a bow. You guys remember that. So then I went to the churchyard, and man, I started running and flying that kite, and it started flying. There was other people down there flying them. I started flying that thing, and I could see that big old tail just up there swinging, just swinging. And that kite was soaring. Then I ran out of string. I said, oh, man, if I had more string, I could even fly it higher. It was like a perfect day. So I got to thinking, and all of a sudden, I saw this big old bush. So I tied this kite to this bush. I got on my bicycle, I was 9 or 10, and I ran home, and I got a carton of empty Coke bottles, and then I got like, I think there was three other ones. And they were like 10 cents a bottle back then, if you took them. So I went to the drugstore where my dad bought the prescriptions for my mom's called Howard's Pharmacy. So I knew they had kite string. So I got the string, and I went up, and I put all the money on the counter, and I was 3 cents short. And the lady that owned the drugstore was waiting on me. She says, oh, Freddie, don't worry about it. I said, you sure? She says, your daddy will take care of it. She knew my dad because he was in there all the time buying for my mom. You see that? And so I said, okay. So I get on my bike. I go, I'm so excited. I got this big old ball of string, and I'm going back to the place where my kite's tied to the bush. I get back. It's still just up there soaring. You can see the tail up there swagging. So I tied it, I held on to it. I wrapped the string around my arm, actually, so it wouldn't take off, and I tied the end, and then I just started letting it out. And the next thing you know, all this string was gone. And that kite, you couldn't even see it. It was out of sight. Are you listening to me? You couldn't even see it. And I was sitting there pulling on it. You could feel a pullback. I pull, pull back. I said, look at this is too cool, but I wanted to see it. So I'm flying it, And now, I'm so entrenched in what I'm doing, it's starting to get dark. So I started thinking about all this string. I thought, man, I don't want to wrap this thing up. I looked at that empty spool there with no string on it. I didn't want to put it back on there. So you know what I did? Let it go. Now the kite is just, who knows where it went. Are you listening to me? Now pay attention. It says in Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. But now we use the New King James here, and it says where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Now listen, this word revelation and vision are synonymous. The word revelation means a prophetic, redemptive uncovering. It means to reveal what's on the mind of God to the church for direction. So when I get revelation, I'm getting direction for my life. Are you listening to me? If you don't get direction, there's not going to be protection. That's why you need vision and revelation. Now look, so now it says where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. So look, why did that kite go so high? Because it had restraints. I'd pull on it, pull back up. It was just soaring up there because it had restraints. When it didn't have restraints, I let go. It was lost. There's no way you could find that kite. That's the way it is. When you don't have God's restraints in your life, you're just meandering in life. But when you got vision and revelation, you have the restraints necessary to get you higher and get you closer to God. Are you listening to me? That's why when they pull over a person who's intoxicated, they say, we're going to have to restrain him. They put handcuffs on him so he doesn't hurt himself and so he doesn't hurt other people because he doesn't have restraints. Are you listening to me? That's the way it is with you. When you don't have any restraints, you end up hurting yourself and other people. We need a vision. We need revelation from God to do His will so we benefit others and we benefit ourselves and we benefit Christ and His kingdom. So now think about this. Where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraints. But where there is revelation, there is restraints. Now, let's look at this scripture here. You with me? It says in Proverbs 23:26, give me your heart that your eyes may observe my ways. You see, when God has your heart, your vision is clear. You see that? Are you looking? He says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed. The word lose heart means no restraints. You see, when you don't have restraints, you've lost your heart. It's not on God. Are you getting this? Now look, when there's no vision, you can't see clearly. That's why God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We need His restraints to accomplish that. Am I making sense? So now think about this. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 5:14, the love of Christ compels me. The word compel means to constrain, restrain. It's the love of God that's restraining my life. You see, when you love God, you want those restraints. You're not going to let anything take them from you. Am I making sense? Now watch this. And he says, just before he said that, he says, those of you who have a sound mind, it's for you. It's not only for you, it's for other people. God said, I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear takes your vision and causes you to be discouraged. It takes your courage. Fear does. Did you get that? When you have a sound mind, it's because you're not afraid. Perfect love, 1 John 4:18, casts out all fear. And it gives you a sound mind. And that's for you and other people. You see, when you have a clear vision and the love of God working in your life, you're secure. You're stable. Not only for you, for other people. Are you glad you came to church today? We're just getting started. Get a hold of this. So what I'm going to talk to you about is courage. You see, you need courage to be everything God put you here for. Look at this. In a trust and inspire culture, we need humility and courage. We're talking about courage today, and fear and vision. Now look, some people have high levels of humility but lack courage. These people care about relationships but often don't have the will to correct people when they're wrong or to give healthy feedback. This may happen in parenting, when parents are humble enough to recognize their child has an issue, but they're afraid to correct the child's difficulty or misbehavior. Or it may happen on a team, in a corporation, in a church, when team leaders are humble enough to recognize there's a team dysfunction, but they're too full of fear to confront the team members about the need of a change. You paying attention? Such team leading often is more concerned with being liked than doing what is right. You see, we got to get rid of this need to be liked. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare. When you know you're loved, you don't need to be liked. You see that? I know Donita loves me. I know Jesus loves me. What you got? Huh? Come on with your best shot. When you know you're loved, it makes you stable. Am I making sense? It makes you secure. That's why he says, because you've set your love on me, I will deliver you and set you on high. Because you have known my name. A little word set, S-E-T, means to restore to a proper position and a stable state. You're stable when your love is set on God. Now pay attention. When they're more concerned with being liked, in the end, everyone suffers for their lack of courage. It takes a lot of courage to take on a tough issues, especially with people you care and love. In the long run, it demonstrates more loyalty and care for the person when you are loyal to principles first. We should be loyal to principles first. Remember, loyalty is only demonstrated when it's given the opportunity not to be. You need to write that down. For example, when you want to go to the doctor, you want the doctor to tell you the truth, not what you want to hear. The same as with a leadership team. Doing this takes courage. Without courage, we cannot practice any other virtue with consistency. We can't be kind. We can't be true. We can't be merciful. We can't be generous. We can't even be honest without courage. Maya Angelou is the one who said that. Now think about this. It takes courage. Go with me quickly to 1 Kings 19. Now I'm going to read these first four verses just, and for the sake of time, you can read verses 1 through 10 later. But for the sake of time, you know, we've been doing about, well, we're going to just go through the first four verses. But I think you'll catch the whole message. And get a hold of this. Let's look at this. And Ahab told Jezebel, now listen to me. Elijah was a prophet. I mean, I'm talking about a major prophet. I mean, he did some things that Moses didn't do. He called fire down from heaven to burn up all the sacrifices. He defeated over 800 false prophets of Baal. One man. That's some mighty works. Are you listening to me? And look, and this all happened. This all took place before what we're going to read here took place. Now, look at this. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Man, I mean, this was a major move of God through this man. But now look. Also, how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, in other words, she wrote a note to Elijah, and the messenger went to Elijah and read it to him. Now watch. So let the gods, little g, let the gods do to me and more also, if I, now listen, if I do not make your life as the life of the one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now here's what's happening here. Now pay attention. Elijah, she sent a message saying she was going to do to Elijah what he did to all those prophets. You seen that? By killing them. Now look what happened. You paying attention? And when he saw, this is Elijah, the man of God, the man of the hour. This is a mighty man of God. And when he saw that, what? The message, the bad news that the little woman brought to him and read the letter to him. He saw the bad news. His imagination, in his mind's eye, he saw himself being destroyed. Now look. And when he saw that, he arose. When he saw, his vision was impaired. His vision was impaired. Listen to me. Elijah had got so caught up. You know, things can be going good for you. Our bills are being paid, and we got a couple cars out there. We got things. I'm just going to take it easy a little bit. See, Elijah wasn't dependent on God like he should be. Because you see, if you're dependent on God, you're not going to get your vision. You see this? So Elijah was in a state, he was coasting, but God was still using him. But now look, there'll come a time when something unexpected will happen to us. It'll be a doctor's report. It'll be a relationship. It'll be a financial problem. Something unexpected will happen. And if you're not careful, it will take your vision. And this is one of the worst things that ever happened to Elijah. Now look, when he saw, his vision was impaired. He arose and ran for his life. He took off running. This is what happens with people when they get hurt in the church. Or they get hurt, they take off running. They're running from the very thing God is trying to help you with. Now watch. Ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. I've had enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's." He was depressed and discouraged. Are you listening to me? Because of this information he got from this little woman, this message. Discouraged. Sometimes we get discouraged by news we hear from others. By the unexpected showing up. You hearing me? Now look. He got upset and wanted to die. Depressed. Depression, you know, there's clinical depression where they have an imbalance, but then there's situational depression. This was situational depression. This is depression doesn't just happen. It starts with discouragement. Your courage is taken away. It starts with this discouragement. And then it gets into disappointment. Disappointment. You see, when you're disappointed, it means you missed your appointment. In Romans 5:5, it says, hope does not disappoint because the love of God is being poured out in your heart. But when you get discouraged, if you don't get it taken care of, it will end up in disappointment. And then disappointment ends up in despair. And despair ends up in despondency. And despondency ends up in depression. And now he just wants to die. That's disgusting. But you know what? Strong people have weak moments. Are you listening to me? No matter how strong you are, you can have a weak moment when the unexpected shows up. Are we making sense? And in verse 9 and 10, God says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He's asking Elijah, how did you get here? It's like, this isn't you. Why is he asking him, what are you doing here? He's not asking him why he's there because God wants the information. Because God knows. He's asking him because he wants him to understand. He wants him to know how he got there. He wants him to know how he got there. You see, if you don't know how you got there, you'll end up doing it again. Are we making sense? He was in the worst spot of his life. His vision was taken. His heart wasn't fixed on God. You see that? How do you keep from letting this happen? Well, I'm going to help you out. There's a life skill that we need to understand. We are going to have to learn how to manage the unexpected. Those things that happened to us that we didn't see coming. We've been talking about this. And everybody is going to have something that shows up that they didn't understand. Why'd this happen to me? If everything has to go as planned in order for you to increase and prosper, then your prosperity and your prospering will be paralyzed by the unexpected. Nothing always goes as planned. We have to be aware of how and whatever it is that has affected us relationally, financially, and spiritually. We have to be aware of it. That's why we need to get a word from God. We need to get understanding. Now listen, how does this start? Discouragement. When you give away your courage. Joshua was one of the ones that entered the promised land. Joshua 1:9 says, only be strong in the Lord and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When our mind is in places we shouldn't be, it shouldn't be, we say things we shouldn't say. That's why God said, what are you doing here? His mind was in the wrong place. Let me share something with you. Give me Psalms 19:7. The law, and we can put this, the word, where the word law is. The law of the Lord is perfect. I'm going to tell you what, your Bible is perfect. You want some help? It's going to come from there. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know what this word convert means in Hebrew? Refreshing. Refreshes the soul. So when I get into the law, the word of God, you get refreshed. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Know that the Lord, He is God.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.